Welcome to Special Education Matters. I'm your host, Michael Bull, and I'm the proud father of an adult son with autism. Hey, everybody. Today I'm chatting with Vicki Rice, a special education advocate with over 30 years of experience. As a parent navigating the complexities of IEPs and school systems back in the day, Vicki turned her own challenges into a career of helping others. We're going to dive into her journey, the ups and downs of advocacy, and maybe pick up some useful tips along the way. So hey, grab a cup of coffee or something stronger, and let's get going. Vicki Rice, thanks for joining me on the program today. Great to have you here.
Nice to be here.
Well, it's always nice to speak with an advocate. Certainly, a lot of parents need them. It's a complex world out there when it comes to special education. As a parent to a now adult son with special needs, I do remember the process. And I did it on my own. It certainly would have been nice. We didn't really have advocates so much in those days to have somebody there alongside with me. So I thought we'd start with, can you share a bit more about your personal journey into advocacy, about how you have experience with your own kids and how maybe that motivated or sparked you to do the work that you do?
Sure. Love to. I'll try and keep it simple and succinct. My child, who is my special needs child, who, by the way, is doing very, very well, is That's 43 awesome. Years old. And she was my experience into special education. I've been doing this for about 30 years. And back then in that time, it was other people who awoke me to the idea of what was an IEP and what was it supposed to be. Mm-hmm. In that time, I realized I wasn't getting and my daughter wasn't getting what she was entitled to. And I've always been that kind of personality that pushes back. And so I wanted to make sure that this didn't happen to anybody else. And that was my motivation to get into advocacy. And at that point in time, I was also a stay-at-home mom. So I had mm-hmm. some time available to go to trainings. I did all the trainings through TASC. Team of Advocates for Special Kids, the state-funded organization. Also, I went to Cal State Long Beach and I participated in their mediation skills training program.
Okay.
And I started to meet other advocates and network with them. And it just began to be a building. When I started, there was no training for advocates.
Yeah. Like, how did you know where to go on day one 30 years ago? I mean, I hear what you have now with TASC and COPA and all those things, but
yeah, like, well,
that first day.
TASC was one of the main places to go back then.
Okay, gotcha.
They did trainings of districts. They did trainings anywhere and everywhere. We have two of them in the state of California. They're funded by IDEA. Their intent is to inform parents and inform districts on how to implement IDEA and the correct way to do it. So not only did I take all of their classes, but I also volunteered for them and did phone advocacy. And so it was a gradual growth, but, mm-hmm. but I wanted to get into it really, you know, quickly and stuff too. And you would be surprised that once your name is out there, how it spreads, because
okay, sure.
everybody has, and I think this is even more true today than it was then. People know other people, friends, colleagues, school parents, whatever. They know others with kids with special needs. They know kids who are struggling in school, and so they share the information, and I get calls that are sometimes just regular ed calls, and you know, they need some help just getting through the regular ed process. They're not necessarily special ed kids, but
yeah, now, Vicki, you went beyond that though. You also decided to go to law school as well.
Yeah. So
and how did that impact your skills and your ability to be an advocate?
It was great. I knew early on that the advocacy process was negotiations. That's really what it is. It's negotiating for your child. And that's what led me to the mediation skills training, and I got the certificate through Long Beach. And then as I continued on my journey, I started to work as a paralegal with attorneys. And it was in during that time that I kind of got that bug about, oh, this might be fun to do as an attorney. So I started law school. I went to the first year of law school, which is contracts, torts, and criminal. Those are the three areas that are covered in that first year. And I often joke that pretty much covers everything a school district does. And contracts being the most important thing, because that is what an IEP is. An IEP is a legal binding contract between you and your school district. So, unfortunately for me, my life took a change and I couldn't continue with law school. By the time I came back around to that, to consider getting back into law school, I got into the place where I realized that doing it as an attorney was going to be a different relationship with parents and with districts than doing this as an advocate. I really started seeing the value of doing it as an advocate. With that added knowledge, legal knowledge, it helps me to ensure that a parent's documents are legally defensible. It helps me to prepare a parent's case for whoever they should choose to go to. So, I think that that has been very helpful, and I've gotten that feedback back from attorneys, and I look for that feedback. Is there anything in this client's case that you would like to see that wasn't there, or something I could refine, or whatever? And my feedback is usually your cases are great, to take forward. So that was kind of my foray into the legal part and how it's benefited me now.
So tell me, how have things changed? Like, so, 30, 25 years ago, you go into you're an advocate, and now you're an advocate today. It's kind of the same thing, or is it easier or more difficult? Not so much for you personally, but what the parents are facing.
One of the things that I often say is I've been doing this for 30 years and nothing has changed. Why am I doing this 30 years later? What is wrong with our system that it's not repairing itself? And that is probably my biggest criticism. As far as how it's different for parents, 30 years ago, there wasn't very much knowledge about special education. It was a smaller niche.
And smaller population, right?
Well, not
Or
percentage-wise, but of those that were reached. The interesting thing for me, the big change has been the increase in autism and identification of autism. Prior to that, the most of my clients I got at middle school or high school, that's when everything would fall apart. I rarely got kids in elementary school. Sometimes I'd get those 3-year-olds that were transitioning, but most of my population was junior high and high school.
And but that's changed today.
That's changed hugely with
So
the
that's a
onset
big shift.
of autism, because autism is diagnosed at such a younger age that it also has brought that awareness of services and availability of not just through school districts, but also through regional center and through insurance and all those different journeys that have taken place. So now I really do have a extremely wide breadth of ages. And I even have some of my clients that come back to me for college. If they're having problems with college, they'll come back and we'll talk about options there.
Oh, what are some of the most common challenges you see in special education cases today for a parent? Why, I guess, why are they calling you? What happened?
Well, There's a variety of reasons. Some will call me and say, I got your name from somebody and they said I should call you. Or that maybe they're working with professionals and a professional would say, you're at a point where you need an advocate. Many of us are networked, so if we are busy and our schedules are impacted, we can refer to another advocate. So, we can do that as well. But it really, yeah, it really is a variety of ways. Now, I would say back in the beginning, I would do a lot of speaking engagements. I would go and do presentations at PTAs, at Parks and Rec. We would run classes. We were really trying to get the word out there and create an awareness of not only just special ed, but your kids having problems in school. What are your choices and options? What do you do? A lot of parents feel very lost with that. Now, through word of mouth, and because I've been around so long, my name is out there. I even have some second generation coming back to me.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and there's, yeah, it's it it is it's pretty diverse, how people do come to it. I'll say once they get to me, most parents do not, and you didn't ask this question, but most parents don't want to go to due process, and that is a journey in and of itself, because once they realize they get to a point of where the district is continually fighting them, and then a parent just gets so frustrated, they're like, I want to go to due process. This is, I'm done.
Right, and
So
that's where they bring in an attorney, I assume, at that point.
that's when they bring in an attorney, and that's where, the development of a case becomes so important, is having your record in your documents really reflect what's been going on, so an attorney can then, take that forward. We all know that district employees have amnesia when they testify.
They're probably told to, who knows?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, as we come to the end of our time here together, I was wondering if you could you look back over the 30 years you have of advocacy here, and do any like moments or times, rewarding times come to mind that you'd want to share with us?
Well, it's funny that you asked that, because just this weekend, I had one of those moments. I have a client that I began with him when he was 3 years old. He's deaf and hard of hearing. And I was on his entire school journey, became,
That's
very
cool. That's
close to
very
the
cool.
family. Yes. He has since graduated from high school with honors. He's an incredible, incredible boy, very bright. Gone on to Fullerton, gotten his teaching credential, his student teaching in the district he grew up in. And we get together. In fact, he had some issues related to discrimination because of his disability. And we together wrote up a complaint and filed a complaint. So even though he's 22 now, I still see him. We just met for lunch the other day. It's so great, and there are those clients who, forever, you kind of know forever. And those, I think, are really special moments. There are other moments as well for those who you don't maintain that kind of relationship forever, where the parents just are so appreciative. They're so appreciative for the information and for the knowledge and the help. Yeah, that gets me through, especially as a sole practitioner, I think. And I would say that to parents, any parents that are listening, if you have an advocate and they're doing a good job for you, make sure you express that to them, because many of us, we don't go to work in an office where, we get attaboys from one another,
It can seem
and
isolating, I bet, at
yeah,
times.
so I think it's important to share that appreciation.
Okay, well, why don't we end with that, the importance of sharing appreciation, letting people know you care, and then, of course, the long-term benefits of advocating for this community. So, Vicki Rice, thank you so much for your work and for
Thank
your time
you.
today.
Thank you. And I'm so happy you do this for everybody. Thank
It's
you.
a good time. Thanks for listening to another edition of Special Education Matters. For more information, including show notes, head to our website, csnlg.com/listen. And if you like what you hear, please consider giving us a review on iTunes. Those reviews bring us lots of happiness. I'm your host, Michael Bull, and we will talk again soon.